from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello there, you're listening to the English service from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on shortwave 3325 kHz and also our application RRI Digital plus the online streaming voanews.id. Today, I'm Steve Wellbeing here with you, so make sure to stay tuned with us at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, here's the news first, the headlines. Indonesia targets oil sources outside the Middle East. Foreign Minister Sugiono calls Iran's foreign minister, conveys Indonesia's readiness to act as mediator. And here is the newsline in detail. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Economy Airlangga Hartarto responded to the rise in global oil prices. He said the government has secured cooperation to obtain oil supplies from outside the Middle East. Putri Cahaya Purnama has the details.
The closure of the Strait of Hormuz certainly disrupts energy distribution to global markets. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Airlangga Hartarto stated it during a press conference at his office on Monday, March 2nd. He highlighted the main issue that has arisen, specifically the disruption of oil supply routes. In addition to the Strait of Hormuz, trade routes in the Red Sea are also experiencing serious disruptions. The Indonesian government currently continues to monitor the ongoing conflict there.
What is certainly disrupted is the oil supply. And the oil supply is disrupted because of the Strait of Hormuz, not to mention the Red Sea. So we will see how long this conflict will continue.
As a precautionary measure, Airlangga Hartarto said that the government has established cooperation to secure supplies. This cooperation targets oil sources outside the Middle East. One example is that Pertamina has signed a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, with a company from the United States.
Yes, the government already has an MOU to obtain supplies from outside the Middle East. For example, recently, Pertamina signed an MOU with several American companies, including Chevron, Exxon, and others.
The search for new sources of imports is a top priority in the current global situation. Airlangga said the government is committed to continuing to monitor oil availability from other regions. Putri Cahaya Purnama, Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesia's Foreign Minister Sugiono called Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi amid escalating tensions in the Middle East on Monday. On the occasion, Sugiono once again affirmed Indonesia's readiness to take on a mediating role to facilitate peaceful dialogue between Iran, the United States, and Israel. The Indonesian government also called on all parties involved to exercise restraint and avoid further aggravating the situation. In addition, Indonesia emphasized that respect for international law and the United Nations Charter must be upheld. The government views the dialogue and diplomacy as the only viable path towards regional stability. Amid escalating attacks between Iran and Israel and the United States, the Indonesian embassy in Tehran ensures that the situation of Indonesian citizens is safe and under control. Indonesia also reaffirms its principle of non-interference in Iran's political dynamics following the death of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Rizka Fadila has the detail.
The Indonesian ambassador to Iran and Turkmenistan, Roy Sumira, stated that Indonesian citizens in Iran are safe amid the escalating armed conflict between Iran and Israel and the United States. In a Voice Talk program with the Voice of Indonesia on Monday, March 2nd, he said the embassy continues to communicate with Indonesian citizens through all available communication channels.
Places or not, but as far as we can gather the information, and I still have the luxury to communicate with them through several channels of communications, our citizens mentioned that they are still in a safe and secure condition.
Regarding the political developments in Iran, Ambassador Roy Sumira emphasized that Indonesia would not interfere in any country's domestic affairs, but he assured that Indonesia would provide assistance if needed.
For Indonesia, we are not in the business of interfering with other countries' situations. For the Iran, it's going to be depending on the Iranian themselves determining their future, including what will be next after the divide.
Iranian news agencies confirmed the death of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. He died as a result of an airstrike carried out by the United States and Israeli military forces on several targets in Tehran, Iran. According to information received from the Iranian government, Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian and two other high-ranking officials will lead Iran in a transitional period following Khamenei's death. Rizka Fadilah reporting from Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Composite Stock Price Index rose 0.93% on Tuesday after falling 2.65% on Monday, following the escalation of global tensions due to military attacks by the United States and Israel on Iran on February 28th. The weakening of the domestic index was in line with the global market volatility, such as the 1.35% correction in the Nikkei 225, as well as the surge in energy commodity prices. Brent crude oil jumped to $77.74 per barrel, and gold prices hit a new record high of around $5,350 per ounce. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto held a meeting with the Coordinating Minister for Food Affairs Zulkifli Hasan in Jakarta on Monday, discussing the government's readiness to maintain the stability of food supply and prices during Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr. After the meeting, Coordinating Minister Zulkifli Hasan affirmed that President Prabowo's directive was very clear, namely ensuring the availability and affordability of basic necessities for the people.
Yes, we ensure that during the fasting month up to Eid, food stocks must be monitored closely.
Through cross-sectoral monitoring, the government strives to ensure that the food distribution chain runs smoothly without obstacles from upstream to downstream. In the spirit of Ramadan, the Japanese Embassy in Indonesia organized a gathering and iftar event to support religious activities of Muslims, while further strengthening the friendship between the two countries. Here is full report by Ofra.
The event was part of ongoing efforts to enhance relations between Japan and Indonesia through social and religious engagement. Japanese Chargé d'Affaires ad interim Miyochin Mitsuru stated that Ramadan provides a valuable opportunity to strengthen people-to-people ties between the two nations. He emphasized that grassroots exchanges play an important role in building long-term bilateral relations.
We believe that people-to-people exchanges at the grassroots level serve as an important means to strengthen the bonds between our countries in the future. With these opening remarks, I hope this event will become a meaningful opportunity to reinforce the friendship between Japan and Muslims in Indonesia.
In his remarks, Miyochin also highlighted the significant role of Islamic educational institutions in Indonesia, including thousands of Islamic boarding schools, or pesantren, across the country. The government of Japan has implemented an invitation program for leaders of Islamic boarding schools to visit Japan since 2004, involving more than 190 participants to date. On the same occasion, the rector of Universitas Islam International Indonesia, Jamhari Makruf, expressed his appreciation for the Japanese government's consistent efforts in fostering relations with pesantren and Muslim communities in Indonesia.
This program is very meaningful and holds extraordinary significance for us. Just imagine, the Japanese embassy now has 190 Islamic boarding schools across Indonesia that can become friends. So if the Japanese embassy or Japanese officials visit Indonesia, they can stop by anywhere at the pesantren that have participated in the program, and that is a remarkable achievement.
According to him, the network of pesantren involved in the program has become strong social capital in strengthening bilateral relations.
The Constitutional Court of Indonesia on Monday removed an ambiguous phrase in the Act No. 31 of 1999 on the eradication of corruption crimes related to obstruction of justice. Justice of the Constitutional Court Arsul Sani announced that
according to the court, the norm in Article 21 of the corruption law, insofar as it relates to the phrase directly or indirectly, is contrary to the 1945 Constitution of the Republic of Indonesia, and therefore has no binding legal force. Thus, the petitioner's argument is well-founded.
The Constitutional Court stated that the phrase directly or indirectly used to punish someone for obstructing a corruption investigation could be applied flexibly to target anyone who is not aligned with the law enforcement authorities. And this could threaten activities by lawyers, journalists, writers, and activists on the anti-corruption agenda. The ruling stemmed from a petition filed last week by a lawyer, Hermawanto, who challenged the article before the Constitutional Court. And listener, that was the news. Coming up next is commentary titled Indonesia Seeks Alternative Oil Sources with Anna Trijayakasi.
The conflict in the Middle East is heating up again. Tensions between the United States, Israel, and Iran are impacting vital global energy routes, including the Strait of Hormuz, through which most global oil shipments pass. When the situation in the region is disrupted, global oil prices immediately rise, causing market anxiety. For Indonesia, the situation is certainly not good news. Indonesia still imports oil to meet domestic needs. If supplies from the Middle East are disrupted, the impact could be felt, particularly on fuel and energy prices derived from oil and automatically on economic stability. Therefore, the government is choosing to take precautionary measures early. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Erlangga Hartarto, stated that Indonesia has explored cooperation on oil supplies from outside the Middle East. Pertamina, Indonesia's state-owned energy company, has also signed a memorandum of understanding with several energy companies from the United States. This step aims to expand supply sources so that Indonesia is not dependent on a single region. Amid global uncertainty, diversification is key. Fluctuating global oil prices demonstrate the market sensitivity to geopolitical conflict. Producing countries are indeed striving to increase production, but the risk of distribution disruption remains. Through international cooperation and an open approach, Indonesia aims to ensure a secure oil supply. This effort not only protects national interests, but also serves as part of Indonesia's contribution to maintaining global economic stability. That was commentary.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. I'm Indra Asmo, President Director of Radio Republik Indonesia. On behalf of the management and staff of Radio Republik of Indonesia, I wish you happy fasting during this holy month of Ramadan, 1447 Hijriah. The month of Ramadan is a moment to strengthen the values of faith, integrity and social concern. In line with Radio Republik Indonesia's vision as a trusted, relevant, impactful and inspiring public media, we are committed to continuing to present podcasts that educate, inspire and strengthen national unity and values. Through the spirit of Ramadan, RRI will continue to fulfill its role as a platform for accurate and balanced information, a means of public education, and a source of inspiration that fosters optimism and hope for this nation. May our fasting be accepted by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and may this Ramadan bring blessing, peace, and a renewed spirit in serving the community and the nation. Wassalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.
And listener, to see how the closure of Hormuz Strait is affecting Indonesia and what Indonesia needs to take, here is the VOA Talk with Irfan Syawki Baik, an economic observer.
Voice of Indonesia.
And listeners, we know that recently the attack against Iran has also caused the other effect, namely the closure of the Hormuz Strait, and the world is trying to make sense of what needs to be taken, what action needs to be taken to take care of their commodity and also trade, and what the Indonesia needs to do about it. We will talk about with the economy observer, Irfan Syawki Baik. Good afternoon, Pak Irfan.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much, Pa Irfan. So let's get down to the business. I'd like to know, what is the real effect of the closure of Hormuz Strait to our economy, perhaps the stock market?
Yeah. The escalation situation, with regard to the Hormuz Strait, of course, it will affect the rest of the world, since it is one of the most strategic and important strait in the trade, international trade, particularly the energy trade. And how can it affect the Indonesia economy? I think it will affect us through three channels. The first one is through oil price channel, because 30% of the global oil trade was conducted through the Strait of Hormuz. Of course, any disruption to this channel will raise the global crude price immediately. So there will be a direct impact on the price hike of oil. So this is number one. And don't forget, we are the net importer of oil now. So of course it will increase the price, and of course at the end of the day our import will also be increasing. And the second one is through financial market channel, because global investors at the moment they may look into what we call as safe haven assets, like gold, for instance, or holding major world currency like USD, so they will try to shift some of the fund, investment fund, from emerging markets towards these safe haven assets. That's why we also observe that the price of gold is increasing sharply, and other assets. And of course, temporarily speaking, Indonesia will experience capital flow, but we hope that it is temporary, and the impact has, we already see the impact, on our market, financial market, our Jakarta Composite Index is already corrected, yeah, and our rupiah is also suffering the depreciation pressure, yeah, and the bond yields and sukuk yields also move upward, yeah. So and all related stocks, yeah, gain, and also transport and consumer sectors are weakened, yeah. So this is the impact, direct impact that we see from our financial market, although to my humble opinion it is still moderate, yeah, it is still moderate, not the systemic one. So we are expecting a rebound, yeah, after some time, but this is not systemic, but the moderate one. And the third one is on the sentiment channel, yeah, sentiment channel, because markets now are very sensitive, yeah, to a certain issue. And if you look at the World Uncertainty Index, yeah, it shows an increasing trend, yeah, for the past 3 years, an increasing trend, and stimulated by various geopolitical conflicts, including military conflict that have taken place, yeah, especially in the Middle East region. So the market become very sensitive, yeah, very sensitive to this uncertainty, and then may react, yeah, excessively, yeah, because of the sentiment channel, yeah, because of the sentiment aspect, yeah. So that's why we see that the volatility of the market is increasing because of this. So these three channels become the channel for transmission, yeah, the impact, transmission of impact from what has happened in the Hormuz Strait.
Okay, and you mentioned about the market might react excessively. How excessive can that be?
Yeah, because of course, if you look at the current condition, actually, the correction, 2% correction, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the data for the Jakarta Composite Index, yeah, and also other index, yeah, it is dropped by 2.65% for the Jakarta Composite. It shows this reaction. Actually, they should wait for a while, yeah. I mean, let's see how the adjustment is made, yeah, from by the oil producing countries, how they react to this one. So they are afraid that the way the countries, the oil producing countries, make adjustment will be slower and harder, because they have to find the other route, yeah, from as an alternative from entering the Hormuz Strait. So that's why they are reacting like that. And also there is a fear, yeah, about the depreciation, yeah, of rupiah, for example. And also fear that another unstable geopolitical condition may give them impact bigger. So they react towards that situation. To me, it's quite excessive. If they can maintain calmness, yeah, and also they need to observe, yeah, in a better way. So maybe the impact is not that big, yeah, because our fundamental, our economic fundamental is not that affected so much, yeah. There will be some time, yeah, the impact may affect our economy, our production, etc., because of the oil price, the increasing oil price. But of course, they need to maintain and monitor the situation. This is what they need to do, yeah. Not directly shifting the capital from emerging market like Indonesia market towards the safe haven assets. But it's already happened now, yeah.
And then to make sure that they will be quite calm, then of course the government of Indonesia needs to take some action, perhaps?
Yeah, of course. Action from our government highly required. Yeah, at least the government should show to the investors that they are having mitigation action. Yeah, how to mitigate the risk and the policy indicating the preparedness of the government, the readiness of the government, to overcome the situation. Yeah, but it was very unfortunate that just a month before, we are also suffering from the red flag case, from the MSCI. Yeah, that is, worsening the situation, and sometimes in some of the perception of our investor, they feel that they are lack of confidence. Yeah, some of them lack of confidence to us because of this case, and the recovery process also was not that good. There are many homeworks that need to be done. But I think at this moment, the government should indicate its commitment to overcome the situation, to maintain the stability of the financial market. Yeah.
And what is the, perhaps let's play what ifs. What is the best scenario that the government can take in overcoming the situation?
Yeah, of course. To overcome the situation, I think it is not only the duty of the monetary authority, but also the duty of fiscal authority and financial supervisory authority, OJK, Bank Indonesia, and the Minister of Finance, and the rest of the government. They have to, take serious measures on the coordinated policies. Yeah. For example, Bank Indonesia should give its best effort to interfere the price of rupiah, how to minimize and reduce the pressure for depreciation of rupiah. Yeah, and at the same time, for example, the Minister of Finance, because of the increasing oil price, they may try to see whether there is a fiscal room to increase subsidy, especially for the industries requiring oil, as the input, for their production. Yeah, so this may reduce the impact of inflation, which will be arise from the increasing input price and cost of production, which of course give pressure to the increasing output price of the commodity. So the fiscal authority, in this regard, the Minister of Finance, should take extreme measure in this regard and utilize our fiscal to minimize that impact. Yeah, the main point is how the government can prevent the imported inflation, imported inflation because of the the current situation. And also from the Financial Services Authority, since they are responsible to monitor the capital market also, so profit taking activities must be strictly observed. Don't let the free rider to take advantage and also benefit from this situation. And that's why we want the authority to closely monitor and observe the situation in the capital market.
And in the beginning, you also mentioned about safe haven. And if we can see that the situation in the Middle East is quite volatile, is it possible that the Southeast Asia, this is the one of the best time of for Southeast Asia to promote itself as a more stable region to invest or even for the trade itself?
Yeah, of course. Southeast Asia can declare themselves as the alternative region for investment, but again, there are a lot of things that need to be improved. Yeah, like ensuring that the red flag case is solved smoothly, and we can guarantee that the price of stock, for example, really reflect the fundamental of the companies in Indonesia, of the of the emitter of the stock, the fundamental of the economy. So this is the thing that we need to make sure in order to convince investor, and also law enforcement and legal certainty. This is also another problem. Sometimes, you know, Indonesia and some of the, of course, we can exclude Singapore in this regard, but other Southeast Asian countries, they don't have a solid and strong legal infrastructure, which is really required by the investors to ensure that their investment will be in a safe country and in a safe environment. So this is another homework that we need to do. And of course, the current government should take, you know, some serious actions to mitigate the possibility of further, you know, and a deeper capital outflow from Indonesia.
Okay, we got what we did it. Thank you very much, Pak Irfan Syaukibek, for joining to the Voice of Indonesia. Okay, listener, that was the economy observer Irfan Syaukibek. And if I can summarize our talk, we are seeing that the prices will be affected. The market is recommended to wait and see, and the government needs to take action to make sure that the situation is good and also to convince the market. And you can listen again to this talk on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Yang berdemam. kau anak manusia, ini aman dan sentosa, tapi kau buat senjata, dia yang berjuta-juta, tapi kau buat senjata, dia yang berjuta-juta, banyak gedung kau di.
Once you step foot on the enchanting island of Bali, you're welcomed by breathtaking landscapes, vibrant culture, and warm hospitality. To ensure you make the most of your Bali adventure, here's a story highlighting the essential of traveling in this tropical paradise. Embrace the local culture, meet the Balinese people with a warm smile, and respect their customs and traditions. Use your best attire, and if you're a woman with a period day, don't go to a temple or other sacred places. Explore the natural beauty. Bali is home to stunning landscapes. Do explore lush rice terraces, pristine beaches, and lush forests. Hike up to Mount Baitar. Prioritize your safety. Don't climb the sacred trees, and get the sunrise you'll never forget. Practice responsible tourism. Support eco-friendly and sustainable practices. Choose accommodations that prioritize environmental conservation and respect local communities. Bali's natural beauty is a treasure. Don't litter on beaches, in forests, or the ocean. Dispose of your trash properly and consider participating in beach cleanup efforts. As you embark on your Bali adventure, remember that responsible tourism ensures that this island paradise remains enchanting for generations to come. Bali welcomes you with open arms. It's up to you to protect its beauty and culture. Bali awaits. Ready to weave its magic into your travel story. Safe travels, and may your journey be filled with wonder and discovery.
VOA my listener, when we go on holiday to an area, we usually buy various kinds of souvenirs for our family or colleagues at the office. There are various kinds of souvenirs that we can buy, such as clothes and various fashion products as souvenirs. Today's Indonesian Wonder informs you about clothes and various fashion products in various regions in Indonesia that offer unique designs and still highlight the characteristics of the region's original culture. Call it Dagadu Jogja. As a creative industry native to Yogyakarta, it is certainly not surprising that most of Dagadu's t-shirt designs are steeped in Yogyakarta city icons. Starting from illustrations of Tugu Jogja, Taman Sari, and Kraton Yogyakarta Palace. Uniquely, Dagadu Jogja also has a visual design with the addition of eccentric Javanese sentences which really describe the city of Yogyakarta. A holiday to Bali is incomplete if you don't buy jogger clothes. Different from fashion souvenirs in general, jogger is famous for its eccentric word designs. That's why, to this day, jogger is still known as the word factory. Apart from t-shirts, the local merchandise industry, which is famous for its tagline Jogger Jelek, also sells various fashion products which are no less unique and interesting, such as bags, wallets, sandals, and shoes, watches, and various other typical Balinese souvenirs. Listener, besides pempek fish cake, Palembang, South Sumatra is also famous for its unique and creative local products. This can be seen from the many local merchandise industries, which are almost always targeted by tourists. One of the most popular one is Nyenyes. Nyenyes, or meaning chatty in Palembang language, is a local creative industry famous for its unique t-shirt designs. This is because almost all Nyenyes fashion product designs use images that are identical to Palembang, such as Ampera Bridge, Kemaro Island. Interestingly, fashion products from Nyenyes also have a collection of t-shirts with a combination of songket woven cloth motif. Of course, the modification of traditional woven cloth with modern clothing will be an attraction for visiting tourists. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Pasar Terapung, Lok Baintan. Di Pasar Terapung, Lok Baintan, which means at Lok Baintan Floating Market. You will listen to a conversation about Bisa Kurang, Bisa Kurang, which means can you lower the price? The conversation is between Chris, a vlogger from Australia, and a food hawker at Lok Baintan Floating Market. Let's listen to their conversation.
Pisang sale buah kedondong, Bang Bule, jajan dodol dong.
Wah, keren pantunnya. Berapa harga dodol durian ini, Bu?
20 ribu, Mister.
Bisa kurang atau tidak?
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Bisa kurang, which means, can you lower the price? I will say it two times slowly. and please repeat after me. Bisa, bisa, which means can. Kurang, kurang, which means less. Atau, atau, which means or. Bisa kurang atau tidak. Bisa kurang atau tidak, which means can you lower the price? Buah kedongdong. Buah kedongdong, which means Spanish plum. Jajan, jajan, which means buying snack. Dodol durian. Dodol durian, which means durian paste. Keren. Keren, which means cool. Pantun. Pantun, which means rhyme. Berapa. Berapa, which means how much. Harga. Harga, which means price. 20,000. 20,000, which means 20,000. In this conversation, you will listen to an expression, bisa kurang atau tidak. Bisa kurang atau tidak, which means, can you lower the price? In that, there is the phrase bisa kurang. Bisa kurang, which means, can it be lower? And this expression is used when bargaining for price at a traditional market. The phrase bisa kurang, which means can it be lower, actually also means can you lower the price? In this conversation, Chris asked the seller to lower the price down. Here are other examples. Let's listen to some other examples using expressions in bargaining a price. Boleh kurang, which means can you make it cheaper? Apakah ada diskon? Apakah ada diskon, which means is there any discount? For your information, pantun or rhyming poem is UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage since December 17, 2020. Pantun or rhyming poem nomination was requested jointly by Indonesia and Malaysia. For the people of Indonesia and Malaysia, pantun or rhyme plays an important role as a social communication instrument. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Pisang sale buah kedondong. Bang bule, jajan dodol dong.
Wah, keren pantunnya. Berapa harga dodol durian ini, Bu?
20,000, Mister.
Bisa kurang atau tidak?
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today about bisa kurang. Bisa kurang, which means can you lower the price? We hope today's edition will be useful for you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. I am Ahmad Faisal, sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's music corner presents a Malay song entitled Lenggang Zapin Palembang, performed by Hoiri Muhtar. The song was composed by Fir Azwar. It highlights the beauty of Palembang's Malay culture in South Sumatra. With its dynamic zapin rhythm and meaningful lyrics, this song reflects a deep love for the traditions and local wisdom of the Palembang community. Lenggang Zapin Palembang carries an important message about the importance of preserving cultural heritage for future generations. It is not merely a source of entertainment, but also a medium for introducing Malay culture to the world. Well, listener, here is Lenggang Zapin Palembang by Hoiri Muhtar. Happy listening!
Sekuntum ditinggal pergi mencari lagi. Kumbang tak seekor, bunga tak sekuntum ditinggal pergi mencari lagi. Lenggang melenggang, Zabin Palembang, mari menari, mari berdendang. Lenggang melenggang, Zabin Palembang, mari gembira berpang.
Of Indonesia.
Coba kau catat, keretaku tiba pukul 4 sore. Tak usah kau tanya, aku ceritakan nanti. Hey cantik, kemana saja? Tak ada berita, sedikit cerita. Aku baca lagi pesan di ujung.
Okay, thank you very much, listener, for listening to The Voice of Indonesia. If you got something to say, you can go to our WhatsApp, +62 821 2381 2130, +62 821 2381 2130. And you can go to our Facebook page, The Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, I'm Steve. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned on Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.